This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're damn right we start now. It is In the Loop. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got myself, Reginald Atatula. Man, exciting Wednesday. Especially because, and I'm just waiting for Fig at this point. I'm just figuring out the time. We have to appreciate the fact that this happened last night.
Yeah.
Got him for the fourth year in a row. In the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champions.
And they clinch it against the team they had to chase down early in the season. 10 games back to win their fourth straight division title.
It looked early in the season like the train might be off the track, but this Astros locomotive is relentless.
Yeah, man. Houston Astros, AL West division champions for 2024, following in line with 2023 and 2022 and 2021, 2019, 2018, 2017. Right? Like, I just fantastic. And even with that being the case, even with all the success, seven division titles in the last eight seasons, right? Like, even with all of that, your eighth playoff appearance coming up in a row. Sean Pendergast, as that audio is playing, with a hoodie on.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Had the goosies.
Still had the chill bumps.
Had the goosies. Yeah. No doubt about
he
it.
Said chill bumps. I always find it interesting that people have different. Some people say goose pimples, which is also very weird to me.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that's the first time I've ever said chill bumps?
Oh, so
it's weird. It's, okay. I don't use that normally, but for whatever reason, I did right there.
You were in such a post-coital right state.
Yes.
Goosies covers it all. I got the goosies.
I don't know if I like
ain't
that.
Nobody's
saying goosies. I don't like that. But yeah, man, like, what a fantastic moment. And I know that, look, this is a team that has been there, done that, and like a successful team where the expectation largely is not division championship. It is ALCS. It is World Series contention. However, I don't want to be so jaded to this that we don't appreciate, one, the title itself, and two, how we got there, right? And so I kind of want to just take a moment to appreciate the adversity and the things that the Astros traversed through to get here, right? And so let's do an accounting, if you don't mind.
Let's do an accounting.
Before we do a full accounting, I do want to say, isn't it really, I always find it interesting, the dude who gets to be on the mound, or the dude who gets to be the final lasting image of that exact moment when the clinching happens, because shout out to Josh Hader, right? Yeah, he got to be that guy in this instance, right?
Well, the thing I loved about this one is I loved about that final call is because he said it. Like, you know, I thought they were done. Everybody, you know, as we've talked about.
Oh,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah, we've talked
you
about
sure
that.
You sure did.
Yeah, I
well,
did.
We could talk about it some more right now.
We can. I thought they were done. They were 7-19. Todd Callis thought they were done.
Yeah.
Like, he said it in the final
don't
call.
Don't try to bring nobody else in.
No. Let me explain.
Nah, it was you, buddy.
No, it was. I'm not running away
you
from
left
that.
Him out
he was talking God. About you.
No, I'm not. But he said the train, it looked like the train was off the rails.
Absolutely.
That wasn't my opinion.
Honestly, that's, well, I mean, it was your opinion.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Died.
Last night,
but
it wasn't
look at Lopez trying to bring
no,
the
no,
other
hold
people
on,
in.
Hold on.
Nah, he said, wait, don't jump me.
No, what I'm saying is, like, everybody felt the same way.
Right.
Everybody felt the same
way. It was an objective way of looking at it, that it felt like the train was off the tracks. Because one of the obvious things, at various points, at a couple of points in the season, you were 12 games under 500.
Yeah. 7-19.
You were 7-19. Like, this is the only team in MLB history, if my memory serves me correctly, to win a division after being 7-19.
In June, they had a 10% chance of winning the division.
That is correct. That is correct. You were 7 games back. This is an interesting one because Dana Brown, I was stuck on Space City home network all night with all of the celebrations and watching them do that, which it was really funny. At one point, when Kyle Tucker was being interviewed by Julia Morales, he says, he's just real cool, right? Julia is able to ask him, like, hey, what do you do in these moments? And he's like, well, first of all, make sure that the music's on because nobody's worried about that. And I'm like, how lucky is it? Or how, maybe not even lucky, because you earned your way here multiple times, but it's incredible. The place that you are at when you have a standard routine for celebrations. I know that I'm going to be here, or at least when I am here, these are the things that I do. But in the course of that, right, like Dana Brown, after the game was being asked on the field, like, hey, what was the moment? Because there was plenty of moments that were down where it was like, hey, that you it was tough for you. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the 12 games under 500. It wasn't quite the 719. It was when you were 7 games back and Kyle Tucker goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Because like that's a tough place to be. And that's also because Kyle Tucker is not even the tip of the iceberg when you talk about the amount of injuries that they overcame.
Oh, come on.
Do we want to do that accounting?
Let's go.
JP France had, actually, I'm starting at the back. Luis Garcia had Tommy John last year.
Never saw him.
Out for season. Lance McCullers Jr. had elbow surgery last year.
Never saw him.
Kendall Graveman.
That guy, too.
Shoulder surgery.
That guy, too.
Honestly, forgot he was on the team.
Me, too.
Didn't see him at all. Right? And then I mentioned Kyle Tucker, who we thought at that point had a contusion. Right? He just had a bruise. We
3 months. Him
3 months without one of your best players. Right? And in a position where you were not really well suited to miss that guy in the outfield. Yep. Right? 3 months with him out. And while you were in a down part, right? Let's see. Jose Urquidy, Tommy John surgery.
Done.
Out for the season, right? Like, how many starting pitchers have I named right now? Let's add another one. Christian Javier. Out for the season, right? Like, you are dealing with a ton of starting pitchers that are gone. Mm-hmm. And yet and still, right, I was looking at this last week. When it comes into the postseason, I think it was The Athletic was power ranking starting pitching. Third, right? Like, you were able to get incredible starting pitching, even with all of those guys missing, and missing time to injury. Don't forget, Victor Caratini missed about a month.
Him too.
An injury. JP France, who I mentioned, went out for a season. Like, you had so many dudes that you lost during the course of this, and you still got incredible play. Like, just the resilience of this team.
And we're gonna get into the resilience, but the when you talk about how they got here, to have, a third general manager make moves that got you here is absolutely incredible. Because let's be very honest about this. Without Yusei Kikuchi.
Yes.
Ben Gamel.
Yes.
Jason Hayward.
Correct.
John Singleton.
Yeah.
You don't win it.
That's true.
Flat out. Or at least you don't win it last night.
Right. maybe you're able to cobble together even more. Because, again, what are we talking about starting pitching? You've cobbled some things together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say literally the team won 9 out of the 9 starts that he had.
Yeah.
Right? And he is positioned to be your best, one of your two best pitchers, right? He is absolutely going to be one of the guys that you send out there in the first two games of the wild card series and any further series that you go after that during the course of this postseason run. And that was something that he got a lot of flack for.
Yeah.
Got a lot of flack for that move and how much he gave up. And I still think that there's things that remain to be seen on the back end of it, which primarily is, do you re-sign Yusei, right? Because the rental that you got, like, I think that is where some of the value propositions are. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this flat out. Even if you don't re-sign him, Worth the trade, worth the value the trade at this point?
Absolutely, it already is. Like I said, you don't win it without those guys, especially Kikuchi, on the mound, and certainly, certainly Hayward of late. You don't win it. You don't win it without them, especially when you consider Kyle Tucker and the outfield issues, the starting pitching. You just went through them all.
Oh, and I forgot. Remember Ronel Blanco got suspended too?
And Ronel Blanco as well, getting suspended. It's uncanny how and we'll get into this later, but it's uncanny how winning is not what they do, it's what they are. They are a winning team, because to be able to do it consistently with just an array of cast of characters is absolutely incredible. And to have that bad a start. A team that has accomplished that much, that had that many injuries, it would have been so easy to say, you know what, not our year. A lot of teams say, you know, it's just not our year. Things are going bad. But as much as that was the case and the little moves they made, we do have a little bit of I guess it's uncanny to have a bench coach who knew that winning is what they are, that stayed positive in Joe Espada.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Oh, when you said bench coach, I was like, wait, what are we doing?
Bench coach that became manager.
Yeah.
You know, that stayed positive.
And Dana Brown talked about right, the idea of, you know, Espada, but I think it was really impactful for me hearing Alex Bregman after talking about the impact that Joe Espada had on this team.
He was consistent all year long. He never lost faith in this group and continued to believe in us and continue to work hard. And just super consistent.
That's been.
I like that song in the background.
Yeah, they were jamming in there.
Make it rain.
They were jamming in there. And I imagine, as I mentioned earlier, that might have been Kyle Tucker's work. We might need to go and check on that because it seems like that's what he does, make sure that the vibes are high. But yeah, Joe Espada, like we mentioned Dana Brown, we got to give him some credit, as you mentioned. Like, dudes on the scrap heap were very important. I know Ben Gamble's on the IL and maybe was not as front of mind, I guess is the words that I need to use here. But like, he was important in a time where you did not have much in the outfield. Then you go get Jay Hay, right? You go get a five-time gold glover who is, you know, a little bit older and kind of was disposed of in some
ways. He was DFA'd.
Yeah.
He was sent to the scrap heap.
And you were like, here, let's just go ahead and give that a shot, right? Like, and he comes in, and not only is he impactful in this game, big catch in the outfield where his hand goes through the out-of-town scoreboard in the Crawford boxes, and you look like he might come out. Then he comes back up and has one of the major big hits in this game, right? Like, it's just been incredible the various ways that they get things done. But going back, right, Dana Brown, in adding the pieces that he has that he added to help them, you know, get through the tough stretches and really ultimately find themselves to this place where they're the AOS champions again. Joe Espada deserves a lot of credit, and especially he deserves it full-throatedly because there was a lot of folks out here that were not rocking with him, that had real concerns about him, and you have many of the principals in this stepping up and saying, hey, Joe Espada deserves credit for keeping us even kilter, keeping us going during the tough times.
Remember, there were times when notable players anonymously were saying the lack of communication, there's communication problem. Remember that, Figgy, in the clubhouse? Well, that all pointed to Joe Espada. There were times, and especially, let's not forget, Jose Abreu dismantled the start of this team, was a big part of dismantling the start of this team, and they stayed true to him to a fault almost, and then ultimately pulled the plug on Abreu. That is all general manager and manager trying to figure out what could possibly get them right, and ultimately they did.
Yeah. Another thing that we have to appreciate during the course of this, we've talked about all the injuries that you had starting pitching wise. We got to give a lot of credit to Spencer Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, for figuring things out and ultimately stepping up into roles that I don't know that we fully anticipated them doing, right? Hunter Brown was very good last year, but it tailed off, right? He was not able to keep that going. That is not the story of this year.
Yeah. No, it's not the story of this week.
Got better, stayed good all the way through. Spencer Arrighetti found himself as a hometown kid to give you another one. And I guess, I need to give some appreciation to Hunter Brown, because I say to be one of the two guys that go, It's probably Fromber and Hunter Brown, actually, that goes 1-2. And then we're talking about Yusei.
Yeah.
Right? So I also am in this place where I was not giving Hunter Brown enough due. With, he absolutely deserves it, and he has been incredible for you. I think there's, I don't know if there's another word that you can use.
It's just like a common thread among the pitching staff to be able to find something that wasn't there before. It's a common thread with this organization to be able to find something that wasn't there before. And that speaks to the organization. That speaks to the manager. That speaks to the, you know, the culture that is here. And I know we're going to talk about that again later. But like the fact that you have Hunter Brown sort of flailing up and down. Fromber, frankly, flailed a little bit up and down. Kikuchi, who was really nothing. You know, he was a guy that we Figgy and I both were like, man, I don't know about this cat when they brought him in. You know, fingers crossed.
I think he had like a 4-something ERA.
Yeah, and then comes earlier. in and does that. That's not, you know, that's not a magic pill. You know, that's the way that this organization has operated and been able to build these guys to, and fit them in to what they do. And like I said, winning is not what they do. It's what they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially because if it was just what they do, you would not end up in this place with three different front offices and three different head coaches or managers, rather. In this run of 7 AL West championships in 8 years. In fact, that you had a four-peat when it comes to AL West championships, which is the first time it's happened in the AL West since the 71 to 75 span with the Oakland A's, right? You're talking about Reggie Jackson. You're talking about Raleigh Fingers. I think at one point, Vita Blue. Right? You're talking about that. Those A's, that is the last time that has happened in this AL West that you've seen this level of dominance.
We're talking about a team that is no longer, hey, are they a dynasty? Look, and I know you have to get to the ALCS and the World Series to truly cement it. But in terms of like eras of winning, the Astros right now are in Yankee territory from back in the day. Like it's automatic that, you know, you have to get through Houston. You have to be able to get, and it's very, very hard. The only year that they didn't win the division over the last 8 years,
shortened season,
was the COVID year.
Yeah, shortened season.
And so, like, they are the modern day Yankees. In other words, like everyone has to focus on them, or else you're probably going to lose to them.
Yeah,
you know,
because it's not just that. Then they once they get into the postseason, they go and deliver in that way too, right? Like it's the what was it the earliest exit was the ALCS, that seven game seven situation, right? Like that is a testament to what this team is, what they have done. And what was lovely about last night was that it was last night as opposed to tonight or in this upcoming series against the Guardians, right? It gives them an opportunity to now look forward and put themselves in a best position to succeed when it comes to the wild card series. Because one of the things that's tough, like you had all this adversity, and you're still going through it, right? We still know that Yordan has that knee sprain that you have to try and manage. Hey, man, Jose Altuve has played literally the most games that he's played.
Isn't that something?
Since, what was that, 17, I think, the last time I checked. And especially, like, most at-bats, right? And it's just a lot for a dude who is of his age, right? And, of course, I say that and I recognize that we're doing the sports thing again where it's like, he's 35 years old, a modern marvel, right? How is he doing? It's like, hey, 35 ain't that old in, like, average life. But in baseball, and sports
especially
years,
with that much tread.
And playing in the middle infield, right? Like that. So managing to give some people rest. In fact, Joe Espada talking about
we'll see you in the postseason.
The benefit of this, he actually was talking about what this means, getting this done with four games remaining.
We'll see on Alves. Now that we clinch, now we have a little bit more time here to rest some of these guys, our pitchers, especially our relievers. You know, Jose needs some time off. He's been grinding. So he'll get some time off. I need to get Jeremy off his feet. I've been pushing these catchers a lot, so we're going to map it out here where everybody gets a little blow, but we got to keep going. You know, we want to bring this momentum into the postseason.
Who was that person?
Jose Altuve.
Who would have thought that Joe Espada needs a tutor from Sean Pendergast?
Wow, what are you doing? Why are you taking shots at Espada?
It's Jose.
Jose. That is a division-winning manager. I need you to calm yourself.
He probably know a little more Spanish than you.
Sean, you need to get with Joe Espada. Help him on that.
Wow. You're telling Joe Espada he needs... See, look, this is the disrespect we're talking about.
It's not disrespect.
This is the disrespect. No, but,
yeah, I love the idea that in the next four games that you possibly get an opportunity to rest some guys. We'll talk more about that with our guy Adam Spillane
here at 10:40, our Astros insider, who I believe was out there for that game. But remember, our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, again, for the seventh time in 8 years.
How about that?
Your Houston Astros, AL West champions. They're now locked in as the third seed in the AL. And now we wait because there are some shenanigans afoot when it comes to what that third wild card spot is going to look like and who your ultimate...
Early on, who do you want?
I was looking at it, and as much as I was talking about the Tigers being hot, one of the things that's... They got good pitching, don't get me wrong, but I do wonder if their actual offense is as dangerous as some of the other opponents... that are possible. The Royals, the Twins are all in there, although the Royals have lost a lot of games. But I actually might want the rematch with the Tigers when I was looking at this yesterday. So we'll examine that more, and I definitely want to ask Spo from his even more, informed opinion on that. But there you go. AL West champions, once again, Houston Astros. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Wednesday. We'll have a Texas Star Grill Shop giveaway, $50 gift card coming up later in the program. But coming up next, let's do our question of the day. Inspired by a Houston Texan, if you ever do blank, somebody probably needs to check on you. 713-572-4610. Text in. We'll talk about that next.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader. Sports
Leader. I feel like we got an extra one there just to make sure to celebrate the Astros.
All right.
Getting their AL West championship.
Fun day, man.
Division championship last night. Definitely a fun day yesterday, and that leads into a fun day here in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Hope that you are having a fantastic Wednesday. We will hope to make it even better in the noon hour, 12 o'clock hour. Texas Star Grill Shop. $50 gift card there is being given away. So you want to keep it locked here. And we are going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the Astros. We're going to talk more about the Texans as we begin to turn over. It is, you know, we're heading into week four. Jaguars, home game. So, and division game. So we're doing all of that here. And I did notice on the YouTube, because the YouTube's always available for you. The Twitch is always available for you. The Odyssey app's always available for you. And the text line, 713-572-4610. But on the YouTube, Abigail said, according to Acho, I don't know if that's Emmanuel or Sam, but Vikings defense could be exposed with motion. Why didn't Slowick know that? Oh, he did. Like, there was a ton of motion. And I know that because I was watching all of them plays, looking for specifically that. That's going to come up at noon today. When we kind of ask about and try and diagnose what's happening with all these damn third and longs for this Texans offense. But right now, when it comes to the Texans, a thing that was noticed, because people are social media watchers, like watching in the social media space is now a beat unto itself when it comes to sports, right?
Oh, he liked this tweet.
That's a job alone.
Yeah, man. It is.
Right. Did somebody change their or take?
Oh, Stephon Diggs is not following CJ Stroud.
Following this person.
He changed his profile picture.
Yeah, he took all the references to the team off his social. Uh-oh. And with that being the case, one of the intrepid reporters on social media saw that Titus Howard deleted his account. And we'll talk more about that and what the possible implications are of that later. But I am being informed that
things you thought you would never see
that matters, because Titus sounded like he liked me. He liked being on Twitter, right? He is all over Twitter.
Yeah.
He is.
He's on there a lot.
He is the king of Twitter.
At least was.
Yeah.
At least was, because now that account has been deleted, which means we need to go check on that man. And pursuant to that, our question of the day is, what is something that you can do or maybe say that we probably need to come check up on you behind? It is 713-572-4610. And as always, Lopez got something that comes to mind.
Well, one that people know, and you have to be a little bit more in tune with fishing. But if you ever see me throwing a live croaker when I'm fishing, you better come check on me, because something ain't right. because live croaker should not be a bait. It's an old story. It's in fishing. We talk about it on the Bite Me podcast.
You putting frogs on the reels?
Yeah, it's a fish.
Oh.
It should be a game fish.
Okay.
And it's cheating. I like to fish with artificial baits. You know, the purity of it. You know, try to fool those fish to you know, to bite.
Hey, Fig, I don't sound like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I don't mind live shrimp. That's fine because there's a billion of those. But people throw live croaker, and that's cheating, man. That's like fishing with dynamite. Like, you know, so if you ever see me throw a live croaker when I'm fishing, you better come check on my ass because something ain't right.
Okay.
Something ain't right.
I probably would not see that. but I also am not sure I would know how to identify it.
Yes.
But I will keep that in mind. In fact, I might take notes. If live croaker comes into play, if I even remember that.
You ever see me, I'm going to say this in a diplomatic way because we all love our partners. But if you ever see me.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Hey, clear out.
Everybody, clear out. This is me saying it. Eating something other than H-E-B, Creamy Creations ice cream, or Ben and Jerry's, or one of those.
ISO.
You better come check on me, and you get my drift.
Oh, well, that you're saying that for a whole different reason.
I got my hands up.
Yeah. I personally love Texas staples. You know, I love things from here. You know what I mean? Fig, is there one that comes to mind for you where it's like, hey, if you see me doing this or not doing this, hey, y'all might need to see what's happening.
If you hear me watching babysitting or pet sitting somebody cat, you better.
Oh, yeah, you are not a cat person.
Yeah, somebody got me held hostage.
Yes.
Just another one. If you hear me going to the store and get some bananas.
You're not a banana guy?
Nope.
What?
I don't like anything.
That's incredible.
Banana. That's incredible.
I don't like banana flavor. I don't like bananas.
Well, sometimes the artificial banana flavor is stupid. But one of the things that I always think is that when it comes to fruit, there's, you know, some fruits that maybe some people find exotic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are some that just like everybody can get behind in some way, shape or form. Apple.
Nah, I don't.
Grape usually.
Yeah.
Banana. Like those feel like the very simple
elements
of fruit.
I can't believe that. You've never told me that.
Nope.
I got one more. Okay. Kind of Titus related. I try to be, you know, have my hand in all the social media as much as I can. But if you ever see me Snapchat, you better come check on me.
Yeah.
I'm held hostage.
You got a TikTok, though.
I got a TikTok.
Ah, okay. So you like wasting copious amounts of time.
I don't use it a lot, but I use it some. But Snapchat, to me, is just an incredible waste of time.
Okay.
They're all waste of time in a sense, but Snapchat is just goofy.
I mean, they are all wasting time. But like, how much do you feel like you're getting back?
Yeah.
Snapchat.
How about you?
Well, there's two that come to mind. One of them, I really hope does not cause the full conversation because I've been beaten down by this conversation. If you find me utilizing momentum outside of like the scientific ways, like the literal physical, you know, physics element of momentum, check on me because I don't believe in
they really got some momentum
I find that to be somewhat nonsensical and
yes.
Hey, look, there's a lot of folks that even like athletes and they're like, no, momentum is real, and I'm like, I don't agree, like more power to you, and again, I don't want to argue about this, argue with your auntie. But yes, like that, yeah, you might need to check on me. Another one that was actually reminded of me, if you see me running. Just to run, check on me. I hate just running, like getting on a treadmill, going for a run, like outside. For who? For what? In the words of the great Rick Wells, I'm not doing that. Right? Like if I'm running, I'm running for a purpose. Right? I'm running away from something, or I'm playing basketball. Like
you don't,
to ultimately
you don't
achieve
go
a goal.
Run.
I hate it. I hate it so bad. Like what are we doing?
I used to love that.
And I don't know if it's just like my mental disposition or whatever.
Yeah.
But once I get about 3 minutes in, maybe 5 minutes in, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Right? Like I might got you for a solid 3 or 5 minutes where I'm like, yeah, we just running. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like I start kind of cop it please where I'm like, you know,
that's almost as bizarre.
That little pudge, you can hold on to that. That really don't matter that much. You're a good person.
That's almost as bizarre as bananas to me.
Really?
Yeah. Like just go get your exercise.
But a lot of people don't
get my exercise.
A lot of people don't like to run though. That's like one of the worst, and I don't want to say worst things, but a lot of people like the workout, but the cardio part is people hate cardio, man.
Maybe I just like being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's people that love it. That's the thing. And
it's a lot of dudes with a strong top but weak legs.
Missing leg day.
Yep. Speaking of, shout out to the 832 said, if you find me not going to the gym, check on me. God bless you. Like, I appreciate the people that have that kind of dedication, because I usually go about at max 2 months at a time, and then you're guaranteed to see some level of break from me because I am not consistent. 832, another, or same 832. If you see my truck at the casino, come check on me. Okay, that just feels like you might have a vice. Yeah.
I'm listening. The way I hear that is I'm always at the casino. How about this? If you ever see me not listening to In the Loop, someone needs to check.
Hey,
how about that?
Appreciate you rocking with us. From the 713, if you hear me saying Taqueria Sarandas, check on me. That's
it's Taqueria Sarandas.
Sean, why are you texting into the show? What's happening? 281, and I believe this might be the same person on YouTube because they also have this. If you find me not watching the game on Sunday, check on me.
For sure. For sure.
I appreciate y'all agreeing with me when it comes to running. Yeah, running is
a lot of people do not like to do that, man. You got a lot of muscle heads.
I guess.
Just arms, pecs, and all this other stuff. But when it comes to cardio, they do not be. They don't like to run. They don't like the treadmill. Mm-hmm. They don't like none of that stuff.
Someone mentioned the idea. If you see them rooting for the Dallas Cowboys,
of course,
someone needs to check on me.
Of course,
that makes sense.
That would be me too with the Titans and the Cowboys.
fair enough. Yeah, Titans especially. That one's obvious. Like, honestly, it goes even further. If you hear Lopez saying any nice things,
you know that Amy Adams. She's all right.
Yeah,
she actually have a point.
Yeah, where's the thermometer? We need to check his temperature. He might be.
She's misunderstood. You ever hear me say that? You better check on me.
if you see them, that's Ocho. If you see him putting salt on watermelon, throw him in prison for life without.
Come on now.
Excellent.
Come on now.
And they said that they never want to lose the ability to run. I'm not saying I don't want to be able to run.
Now,
I don't like
hoop and stuff.
Yeah, I play basketball. I'll get cardio in various different ways. I just want to run for a reason. And I understand, like, there is a reason to run, but like in that particular moment, it's easy for me. Well,
like,
to go,
are you bored or something? Like, is it boring?
Some of that.
It clears your head, though, man.
I appreciate that it has that value for others. I'm not trying to knock that for others.
I understand what you mean, because I do better running on the treadmill because it's kind of forcing me to
watch TV.
Because if I'm outside, I might run for like 20 seconds and then I'm like, you know, screw it. Let me stop.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, that's a question of the day inspired by Titus Howard getting up off of Twitter. Interestingly enough.
I wonder how long this is going to last.
That is the question. That is a really good question. Like, is this I'm done with this forever? Or is this like a, you know, LeBron James does that thing
that
where like out. Playoff season, but, which I mean, is that just, hey, during the regular season or during the NFL season, I will not be on, and then we'll maybe jump back on social media
later. I think once the Texans start rolling and they go on the little
Back, baby.
I think he's back.
He's back, baby.
I think he ducking the smoke. Which I understand. Like, I don't want to see that stuff either. If I was
But you
in his
never
position.
Thought you would see this.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that some more.
Yeah, we will.
We absolutely will. What we'll also talk about some more is the Astros clinching their AL West championship last night. And let's do that with our Astros insider, Adam Spillane. We'll do it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate all of you folks getting involved on the question of the day. We had more stuff coming through. Another person said if they rooting for the Texans or Titans, they said awful. That's that's different.
If Lopez ever compliments the Astrodome.
Yeah. Someone else mentioned the idea that if you see them cutting the grass, call the doctor. Okay, fair enough.
This might be a full stop moment.
Oh, no.
Something that I found out in that last break.
Uh-huh.
That is truly incomprehensible. Like, truly incomprehensible.
All right, I'm going to steal it from you. I have never mowed a lawn before as an able-bodied man. Yes, go ahead and judge me. That is fair. That
Figgy,
is fine.
He has never mowed a single yard.
It is not because I have refused to mow yards. I want to make that clear. I don't want y'all to go and impugn my work ethic and those types of things.
Nobody's questioning that.
No, I'm sure they are.
Just the marvel
I'm
of
I'm sure
it all.
There are. I'm sure there's someone out there that's like, what kind of man are you?
Never.
Yeah. And look, I understand where you get there. I just have never had opportunity to. When my folks had a house, we never had a lawnmower. And so it got paid somebody else to do it.
That's incredible.
I got to confess to, I'm in the same boat because we used to rent a house.
And never?
Nope.
Not once?
Nope. Now, I did cut some trees and stuff like that as a kid, but.
I pull weeds.
Yeah,
if me too. That makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
I have. Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
All right. Very good. let's see what our guy Adam Spillane has here. Are we not doing the baseball spo intro? Oh, okay. There it is.
There we go.
Figgy's on.
We got to, man.
Baseball spo. Baseball spo. Baseball spo. Baseball spo.
There he goes. It's Adam Spillane, our Astros insider, after the Astros clinch the AL West championship. Spo, are you awake? Are you, you know, aware? Because it felt like you had a long night.
It's not too bad. I've had worse.
Okay.
Trust me, I've had much worse doing this stuff.
Are you starting at second base today?
No. They might ask me to play third base by the time the game ends, but as of now, I am not in the lineup. I'm available, though. I have told them I'm available. It will just be very expensive for them.
Hit for your leg. That's the way that you got to go. No, I mean, for you, what's the most important thing, or what was the most interesting thing that you got to experience when it came to last night? What stood out for you?
I think it was probably just how emotional Joe Espada was, both as they were like securing the last out and then just talking to him in the clubhouse last night. It meant a lot to him, obviously. I mean, he's been through a lot of these, both with the Astros and also when he was with the Yankees. They made the playoffs. But this is the first time for him as a manager, and this was not easy. Like this was a very difficult road to get to an AL West title when you look at how the season started. 7-19, 12-24, 10 games out. He was getting shredded, you know, locally by a lot of people, especially on the station, and by fans, and they were able to maintain it, and they survived it, and they played through it, and they played for him. And I think that a lot of managers, especially first-year managers, rookie managers, could have lost the team, and they could have panicked, and they could have stopped being who they were and being the person they were that, you know, when they got the job and been someone else. That's how you lose the team. He stayed positive, and I think that that's how they were able to overcome this thing. Obviously, you know, ultimately it's about the players. The players are the ones that win and lose games. But I think that Espada just being as steady as he was, when things got bad, I think that spoke just a lot to him and a lot to just the way that the players respect him.
What we came up with our opinions on this in the first segment. I want to ask you, you're there all the time. What two or three things did it? Because they were like, obviously, as you just mentioned, I mean, they were so far back. Like, what two or three things over the course, as you look back, kind of not turned the tide, but really over the course of the season did it for them?
So I think the two big things were just that the one big thing was that the pitching stabilized. And, you know, you look in April, really, I mean, the starting pitcher might have been good on a given day and then the bullpen would give up a lead. Or the starting pitchers, I mean, they had multiple games, in the span of a week where their starting pitcher couldn't get out of the first inning. There was the Blair Henley game in Arlington and then the Hunter Brown game in Kansas City in the same week. They couldn't get a starting pitcher out of the first inning. So the starting pitching really stabilized, and it became a strength for them. And I think when you look from the end of May through, you know, to where we are now, they probably had the best team ERA in Major League Baseball. So just the starting pitching, Framber Valdez got off to a rough start. He obviously pitched great the rest of the way. Spencer Arrighetti had his moments. Hunter Brown turning into a high-level starting pitcher once the calendar turned to May. That was obviously really important. And then the guys in the back end of the bullpen, they stabilized. And, you know, Hader and Presley and Abreu did not get off to good starts. That has since changed. And then you have just the trade deadline. And the acquisition of Kikuchi has obviously been huge to go 9-0 in those games. I mean, that was basically a fifth starter spot that they were giving to Sean Dubin to make spot starts, or to a guy in Jake Voss who was drafted last year and in his second year of pro ball. Like, to get 9 straight wins out of that spot, I think was so important. And obviously just the Kikuchi trade was a big reason for that. And then the additions that they made after the trade deadline. I mean, Jason Hayward coming out of nowhere after he got DFA'd by the Dodgers. He makes two huge plays last night, the catch in left field and then the homer. Ben Gamble, before he got hurt, was really good. And then Hector Neris just giving them a veteran bullpen guy who, you know, he's not what he was, but he's a guy that they trust, and he's a guy that can go get big outs when they need him. I don't think they want Hector Neris pitching in the seventh inning of a close playoff game anymore, but if they need him in a big spot, they do trust him.
We're talking to our guy, Adam Spillane, Baseball Spo, here in Loop Sports Radio 610. And looking now that the Astros have solidified their spot in the postseason, there's a couple of things. One, they can kind of give some rest, as Espada mentioned, after the game. And two, we have to figure out who they will be facing off against in that wild card round, seeing as they're locked into third. There's a few teams that could possibly see: the Tigers, the Royals, the Twins, even the Mariners. These Mariners mm-hmm. still within kind of maybe a little bit of a long shot, but within range. Which one of those would you say is the best and the worst possible matchups for these Astros?
Yeah, and you have to throw in the Red Sox, too. I think True. if you're them, you probably want to play one of the AL Central teams, just because not a lot of experience with either one of those teams, with Kansas City or with Detroit. I don't know if I'm them, if I want to play Seattle, just because these two teams know each other so well, and they have not exactly, I mean, even though they swept the Mariners in the playoffs 2 years ago, those were three very close games that could have gone either way. So I don't know if they'd want to play Seattle. They're going to wind up losing the season series with the Mariners anyways this year. And, you know, I guess maybe the one benefit to playing Seattle is that they'll have to empty the tank when it comes to their starting pitchers this weekend just to make the playoffs. Kansas City is really struggling right now. They won last night. They needed 10 innings just to score a run against the Nationals. But once you get past Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, it's not a lineup that really scares you. I don't know, for me, if they have a starting pitcher that really scares you. The bullpen hasn't been very good either. So I don't think I'd be necessarily terrified to play that team. And then you have the Tigers, who I don't know if they have anyone on their roster that has been in the playoffs. And obviously it's Tarek Skubal at the top of the rotation, but they're a weird team, you know? So that's something that would make you nervous about the Tigers, is that, you know, they obviously have Skubal, and then they're using openers and piecing together 27 outs to win these games. It's not a very good offensive team. Aside from Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter has had a really good year in kind of a part-time role. They were sellers at the trade deadline. There was so much talk about the Astros getting Jack Flaherty. Flaherty goes to the Dodgers, and the guy that they got back from L.A. has turned into their starting shortstop.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect from a Detroit team. The Astros haven't seen the Tigers in a while. Obviously, it's a very different team now than what it was when the Astros saw them last. And there's the A.J. Hinch aspect of it, where, you know, it's an A.J. Hinch revenge series possibly. But right now it would be Detroit. Right now Detroit and Kansas City have kind of created a bit of space between them and the other teams in that 5 and 6 spot. And then Kansas City would have the tiebreaker over the Tigers if it comes to that.
Spo, we appreciate you greatly. In 30 seconds or less, which is an unfair way of putting this up to you, priorities for the Astros in these final four games?
Get guys rest and get guys healthy. Chaz McCormick took BP on the field today. He said he felt okay. He won't play in Cleveland, but it does sound like he will play once the postseason arrives. And we'll have to see about Yordan Alvarez, because obviously they're going to need him. And I don't know, he didn't seem all that confident that he'd be able to play in Cleveland. And if he can't play in Cleveland, I don't know if he'd be able to play next week. So that's the big one.
We appreciate you greatly. Go get some more rest, my man.
We got a game. We got a game here in 2 hours, and we got a spot here in 5 minutes. So there's no rest.
All right.
Yeah. We rest when we die, Reggie.
Oh, God. You're one of those guys.
Look, I was saying, because, again, we got you playing middle infield, so I wanted you to get ready for the game. But whatever,
and
man.
And by the way, we got the lineup, and it's not that it's a hangover lineup, but you got
business
Bregman,
as usual.
Bregman, Pena, Singleton, Diaz. I skipped Diaz, Caratini, Hayward, Whitcomb, Dubon, Myers, and Kikuchi on the mound.
Yeah, I think you might see Alex Bregman get taken off like during the game so he can get a nice ovation from the crowd. But remember, they're playing a man short on the bench, so they kind of have to play more guys than you would expect.
Yeah.
There you go. Adam Spillane. Appreciate you.
You got a chance, Adam. You got a chance.
I still think you should get out there, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead.
My hamstring's sore, but I'm ready.
All right. Well, that means he's going to have to lose the leg. Appreciate you, man. Talk to you later. There he goes. Adam Spillane, Baseball Insider, getting ready for the finale of Astros Mariners, as if anyone really and truly cares about the outcome of that one. All right, coming up next in the loop, let's go around the NFL and talk about various things, including a player for the Jaguars who you will not have to see this weekend. We'll talk about that and more next.